And our Father, we thank you for yet another CFC. Hallelujah. I will thank you for yet another CFC. Even as we hear your word, our eyes are fixed on the reality of Christ that is found in the word. We receive those revelations with clarity. Our heart's response arrives to your word. Hallelujah. We are edified. Christ is glorified. And we stand edified in his glorification. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, in the course of last year, we started off on the topic, the blood of Christ. I mean, the blood. Is it the blood? The blood, the cross. Okay. The blood, the cross, and the throne of Christ. Hallelujah. And, you know, that message flowed into GPLC. And we had the same message where we spoke about the cross. Hallelujah. So, you know, like I told us, we were to listen to that message as we come, as we get prepared for GPL, I mean for CRC. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So today we're looking at a topic I titled Believer's Authority. The Believer's Authority. The Believer's Authority. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's start off quickly because we have a lot to look at. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory, glory, glory. Chapter 5 of John, verse 39. John chapter 5, verse 39. It says, search the scriptures. Well, the King James would put it like this. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. For in them ye think ye have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men. But I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receives honor from another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But you do not believe his writing. How will you believe my words? Hallelujah. This is very important. Hallelujah. As we look at the believer's authority. Hallelujah. So Jesus, speaking to the Pharisees, told them, you see, he commanded the Father to search the scriptures. Hallelujah. He said, you search the scriptures. Hallelujah. Listen. He said, you search the scriptures. The word for search is the word that means to carefully investigate something. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And now, to carefully investigate something like an auditor would do. You search.
Hallelujah.
You remember the people he was speaking to were Pharisees. You get that? They were Pharisees, and Pharisees are those who are learned in the Torah. You understand? They are learned in the commandments, in the laws of Moses. Hallelujah. They are well learned. In fact, they had the custodian of scriptural intelligence in those days. You understand? So people would naturally go to the Pharisees to learn scriptures. You understand me? Okay. So Jesus said they search the scriptures. That is, they investigate the scriptures. But you know, that same word, search, is used in John 7, verse 52. means to carefully investigate something. Hallelujah. 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 Using John, So John 7:52, he says, and they answered and said to him, are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet that has risen out of Galilee. Search to carefully observe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2:10 say, what thing knoweth the things of a man? What is knoweth the spirit of a man? Say, the spirit of a man and the spirit. Say, the things of God knoweth no man except what? The spirit of God. Hallelujah. He says also, he said, we receive not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is from God, and we know those things which are freely given to us of God. Hallelujah. No. That should be 1 Corinthians 2:10. I'm telling you. Okay. He said, the spirit of God shall be searched, the deep things of God, searched. Do you understand me? Means to carefully investigate. Hallelujah. Say the spirit, did I say the spirit of God? The spirit searched the deep things of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Such are the deep things of God. Hallelujah. You have the same word in 1 Peter chapter 10, chapter 1, verse 10 into 11. Hallelujah. So Jesus commended them for the fact that they search, or he actually, how should I put it? He recognized the fact that they searched, but their searching was wrong. Hallelujah. Did you hear that? The way they searched was wrong. Now he said, you search the scripture. He said, for in them. Did you see that? You think you have eternal life. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. See, therefore, he said, you think you have eternal life, but these are they which testifies of me. So, inasmuch as they search, Jesus understood or gave thumbs up for their search, he yet said their interpretation was wrong. Hallelujah. Amen. Did you get that? He yet said their interpretation was wrong of scriptures. He said, for in them you think you have eternal life, but these are they which testified of me. Meaning, the way they search was to search for eternal life in the scripture. Well, as the scripture testifies of Christ. Hallelujah. Then he uses a word, he said, but you would not come to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That shows you something. The way they search was wrong. Now, if you look at verse 46, let's look at what it said. He said, for if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me. Meaning, in their searching, they searched in unbelief. Did you understand that? Hallelujah. It's just clear. They searched in unbelief. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 So, Jesus corrected them immediately. He corrected them immediately. In fact, you say, okay, let me use this. So Jesus rebuked the way they studied the scripture. The way they studied the Old Testament scripture. Because of their unbelief. In fact, if you watch all true scriptures, you discover that unbelief, Jesus rebuked unbelief. Hallelujah. Jesus rebuked unbelief. Hallelujah. You don't try to condone unbelief. No. Hallelujah. In fact, if you look at Mark chapter 16, verse 14, the Bible says he rebuked them at their unbelief. Jesus did. Hallelujah. Luke 24, verse 24. He called them all fools, slow of heart. Luke 24, 25. He called them all fools, slow of heart to believe. Did you see that? Slow of heart to believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the same thing to Jesus did there to them. He rebuked them. He corrected them. Because in the way they searched the scripture, they searched with unbelief. Now, that is why he said, you would not come to me. Meaning, you will not come to the conclusion of me from the scriptures. Hallelujah. Did you get that? You don't come to me. You don't come to the conclusion of me from the scriptures. Hallelujah. 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 So what is Jesus saying? What is he saying? You know, it means that we could say, listen, what Jesus just said in verse 39, meaning he's saying that the scripture testifies of him. That means, if you read the Old Testament's writings together, it reveals Christ. Hallelujah. It reveals Christ. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Remember in Luke 24. Let's go to Luke 24 quickly. Luke 24. Look at Luke 24. We'll still read it again. But let me show you something from there. Luke 24, verse 24. Okay, let me just jump to 25. And he said to them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Did you see? Meaning all the prophets said was concerning Christ's suffering and entering into his glory, which is a short form of saying his death, burial, and resurrection. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And when I talk about, and when we talk about resurrection, talk about his resurrection and ascension into. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So meaning all that the prophet spoke was about Christ. Look at verse 27. And beginning at Moses and in all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. Look at verse 44. And he said to them, these words which are spoken to you while I'm still with you, that all things will be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Hallelujah. Did you see that? So the writings of the scriptures the writings of the scriptures or the Old Testament scriptures is about Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So the utterances of the prophet was about Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15 into 16. Paul told Timothy, say, from a child you've known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto what? Unto salvation. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
The scriptures are able to make thee wise. Skillful. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Meaning in the scriptures, you find salvation. Those were in the utterances of the prophet. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1. Look at Hebrews 1:1 quickly. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1. It says, God who at various times and in sundry ways, we'll look at this closely tomorrow also. It says, God who has various times and in various ways, sundry times according to Old King James, and in various ways spoke in time past. He says, so the fathers by the prophets. Did you get that? Did you get that? God spoke to the fathers by the prophets. Hallelujah. Well, there's a correct rendering of this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Now he said, God, or let's put it like this. At sundry times and in various ways, in time past, the prophet spoke to the fathers. Hallelujah. Because for you to have the word prophet, is one who is inspired by God, right? Right? To speak inspired utterances by God. Now, hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you get that? So the prophet spoke to the fathers. Hallelujah. Now look at what he now said. But in these last days has spoken to us by his son, whom he has appointed the heir of all things. Now mark that word all things. That all things is not, listen, the word all things, not everything with the exception of nothing. The all things there is in relation to what? The spoken word of the prophet. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So therefore, we would now say that Christ, the incarnation of Christ, hallelujah, listen, the incarnation of Christ is the fulfillment of the words of the prophet. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get that? So Christ, Jesus Christ, is the fulfillment of the word of the prophet. Listen to that. Remember he said he has appointed him heir of all things. Which is the all things? All that the prophet has spoken to the fathers. So he is the heir. Meaning everything sums up in him. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Everything sums up in him. Glory, hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Jesus is the fulfillment of the words of the prophet. It's the fulfillment. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, to read, listen, you know, there's some people that say, we are new covenant children. We are new covenant children. We don't believe in the Moses. In fact, I've had somebody said Moses went to hell. People are just funny. Hallelujah. Said it one time. We argued. Well, permit me, those were years. We argued because he had no scripture. Is there how can somebody who gave the law? Law go to heaven. He said he gave the law. If you break one, you die. How can somebody who said leprosy? He was just saying nonsense. Hallelujah. Yeah, I give. I mean, then I didn't have an answer. But today, come with it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those were years back. Years back. Hallelujah. Come with it. We have the answer. Hallelujah. 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 What's very important? The writings of the prophet are summed up in Christ. Hallelujah. So Jesus fulfilled, or Jesus is the fulfillment of the prophet's utterances. Hallelujah. You remember what was written was first of all an utterance before it became written. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. We'll look at that in the course of the year. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In the course of the year, we'll look at that. Glory to God. Look at that John again, John chapter 5. He said, these are they which testify of me. Meaning the scripture, like I've said, testifies of him. Hallelujah. The word testify is the word material in the Greek. Material. It means to give a good report of another event. Or to give a good report of a third party. To give a good report of a third party. Of a third party. Do you understand? To give a good report. That's the word material in the Greek. Now, it means that the scriptures gave a good report of Christ. Hallelujah. And what is that report? Luke 24. It says of his death, his suffering, and his entering into glory. Hallelujah. You find that word material used in John 3:11. Hebrews 11:2. The elders obtained a good report. Hebrews 4:5, 1 Timothy 5:10, 6:13. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Jesus said, these are they that testify of me, but you will not come to me. You will not come to me. Maybe you don't come to the conclusion of the scriptures concerning me. What is the scripture concerning his death, burial, and resurrection? So, like I said, their conclusion about him was not about whether he was going to be, or whether there was going to be a Christ. That was not what they were looking out for. Because they knew there would be a Christ. Did you get that? They knew there would be a Christ. So, the coming to a conclusion about him was not whether there would be a Christ. No. Hallelujah. It was known. They knew that there was going to be, in fact, in the Hebrew, they knew that there would be a Mashiach. Hallelujah. They had that understanding that a Mashiach will arise from the root of David. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. From the offspring of David, a Mashiach will arise. So they knew that there will be a Savior, that there will be a Messiah. Hallelujah. But let's look at, so if that was not their conclusion, if that was not, listen, their mindset, so what was it? First of all, John chapter 7 verse 39 into 43. Let's look at John 7, just after where we are. John 7 verse 39. I will just jump to verse 43. From verse 42 to 43. And Jesus, they say, verse 41. Others said, this is the Christ. Did you see? So their problem was not the Christ. This is the Christ. But some said, will the Christ come from Galilee? Did you see? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David? Meaning they knew. Do you understand me? They knew that there will be a Christ. Hallelujah. So that was not their issue. In fact, when Nathanael or Philip, one of them found each other. Hallelujah. Found his brother. I guess it was Philip that found Nathanael. Right? Yeah. And he went and said, I have found the Christ whom the scripture spoke about. We find that in John chapter 1, verse 45. Hallelujah. John chapter 1, sorry, from verse 20 to 25. Hallelujah. I mean, John 1:45. John 1:45. You find that in John 1:45. Matthew 16 also. You find it there. Hallelujah. When Peter said, "Thou art the Christ." Hallelujah. "Thou art the Christ." So that was not their issue. But you know, the issue, like I said, the issue was not whether there would be a Christ. The issue was the accomplishment of the Christ. Do you understand me? The issue was the accomplishment of the Christ. In fact, even when Jesus Christ resurrected, his disciples even asked him, "Master, will you at this time again restore to us the kingdom? Restore again to Israel the kingdom." It tells you what their mind was. Do you understand me? What their mind was on. That's why in the book of Luke chapter 24, the Bible says in verse 26 into 27, hallelujah, can we all be there? Verse 26 into 27, he said, "Ought not the Christ to suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded. The word to expound is to teach. Do you understand me? He began to teach. Do you get that? He began to teach them in all the scriptures. When it talks about scriptures, it's talking about Genesis to Malachi. In all the scriptures, meaning Jesus taught Genesis to Malachi. Because John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Corinth, they were not in existence then. So what they had as scripture was Genesis to Malachi. So Jesus taught from Genesis to Malachi concerning himself. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Concerning himself. So let's look at that word, expound. Expound. It's the word diamenio. Diamenio. Diamenio in the Greek. Diamenio in the Greek. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things? Ought not the Christ? Hallelujah. We look at that. Diamenio. Is it from, now the word diamenio is from the Greek word dia and hemanio. Or eminio. Eminao. Okay, glory to God. Now, dia means to go through something. To go through something is a compound word, dia. Dia means to go through something. And eminao, the other word means to translate what was written. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Using the best words to translate what was written using the best word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Also, the word diamenio, you need to listen to me now. The word diamenio is from a root word. It's from a root word, emis. Emis. Which implies... it implies one who translates a language. Emis. H-E-R-M-I-S. Emis. An emis is one who translates a language. So therefore, if that is the root word, that means what Jesus actually explained to them, or what Jesus actually expounded to them, was not just interpreting scriptures. He was actually going through the scriptures, telling them about the languages of the prophets. Did you get that? So Jesus went through the scriptures, explaining to them the languages of the prophets. That means what they lacked was the language of the prophets. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Very important. What they lacked was the language of the prophet. Let's look at that critically. Look at Acts of Apostles chapter 13. Acts of Apostles chapter 13. I want to read from verse 26 into 28. Are you with me? Verse 26. Now, Paul is speaking. Now, he says, "Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you, the word of this salvation has been sent. For those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophet." Take note of that word. They didn't know the voices of the prophet. the voices of the prophet, which are read every Sabbath day. Which are read every Sabbath day. They have fulfilled them in condemning them. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. So because they didn't know the voices, the languages of the prophet. Did you see that? Because they didn't understand the languages of the prophets. Hallelujah. Let's go to chapter 17. Just few chapters away. Look at from verse 2 into 3. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for 3 Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." So, Paul did the same thing. Went to the synagogue and explained the languages. Did you understand it? And pointed out that Jesus is the one whom he preached to you as the Christ. So meaning in the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, the message of Christ was ministered. Romans chapter 1, quickly, before we go to 1 Peter. Let's look at Romans chapter 1. Just go quickly. Romans chapter 1. It said, Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated, the word called to, okay, let's just go ahead, called an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. He calls it the gospel of God. Gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophet in the Holy Scripture concerning his son. Did you see that? So, meaning the prophet spoke about Christ. Where? In the Old Testament. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11, quickly. 1 Peter 1, 11. From verse 10, of this salvation the prophet have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when it testified beforehand. Who testified? The prophets testified beforehand. Hallelujah. By the Spirit, testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that will follow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The sufferings of Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Jesus told them, he told them through the scriptures, that ought not the Christ to have suffered these things. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things. So he expounded to them. He opened the understanding. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? He opened the understanding. Now, listen. He opened the understanding in verse 45. Of that same Luke chapter 24. We're in Luke 24. Now, he said he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. The word understanding is the word dianogio. Dianogio. It means to open what was previously closed. You know what I mean? To open what was previously closed. So, he opened their understanding. So, listen. What was closed? Was it the scripture that was closed or the understanding? Yeah, is the understanding that is closed. Never was the scripture closed. You see that? Never was the scripture closed. I say, oh Lord, open the scripture to me. No. It's the understanding. Hallelujah. Now he said that they might understand. Now you use, look at that word understand 2 times. He opened their understanding that they might understand. The word understand, the second word understand is the word comprehend in some translation, that they might comprehend the scriptures. That's the word sunemai. It means that they will be able to put together all the speech of the prophet. Now that's why the Bible says he went through the scriptures, went from Genesis to Malachi. Now he went through the scripture that they will be able to put all the, you know, these prophets prophesied at different times. do you understand, at different seasons, different timings. Do you understand me? So when Jesus went through the scripture with them, now they will not be able to put everything together. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? To put all together to see that Christ is the center theme of the scriptures. They put all together. Now it says that they might understand, that they might comprehend how all these things come together, the scriptures, and what is that they will comprehend about him, seeing that he is the center theme of what the prophet spoke about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Of his glory. Or let me put it off. He spoke to them of what? Ought not Christ to have suffered his death, his burial. Hallelujah. His suffering, his burial, his death, burial. Hallelujah. His work, his redemptive work. And he gave glory. And enter into his glory. And to enter into his glory is in the heart of men. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Is in the heart of men. Glory to God. To enter into his glory. Is in the heart of man, God and man. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 So, the whole Old Testament writing. How are we going to now place the Old Testament writing? Everything in the Old Testament. What does it show you? What is the summation of the Old Testament writing? It tells us about the redemptive work of Christ. Tell us what Christ came to do. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. And this is why when Jesus preaches, you know, when Jesus, if you watch in the earthly, in the incarnation of Christ, in the incarnation of Christ, when he explains, or whenever he gives his parables, whenever he teaches, it ends up, you know, if you understand critically, if Jesus, the explanation of Christ in the scriptures, in the four gospels, was about him. Every parable he gave was to point to what he would do. Do you understand me? Every parable he gave. There's no parable Jesus gave that you can't pinpoint it to what he would do. There was no teaching that he taught that was not about himself. No miracle he did that was not pointing to what he would do. Hallelujah. So in the course of next month, this month, we'll talk about the greater glory. Hallelujah. So they all point to what he would do. Do you understand me? So all these things point to what Christ would do. Everything he did. He turned water to wine. Before he did that, the mother came to meet him and said, there is no wine. Hallelujah. And then he said, woman, my time has not come. Hallelujah. Some people think it's time for miracle has not come. No. No. Hallelujah. That's not what he was talking about. Because he went ahead to do the miracle. Hallelujah. So, what he said was pointing to what he would do. His teaching was pointing to what he would do. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? So, Jesus' words are also around. So, Jesus' words are explanations. Listen. Jesus' words or Jesus' teachings are explanations from the Old Testament scriptures that speak of himself and what he would do in his redemptive work. Do you understand? And what he would do. Glory to God. So this is the light. You have to look. And this is why whenever Jesus is done teaching, you discover that there's something that usually happens. The Pharisees and those who are around are always astonished because of the way he talks. He didn't teach like the scribes. He didn't teach like the Pharisees. They are only learned, but they did not understand what the scripture talks about. Remember what we read from John chapter 5. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because of their unbelief. But when Christ teaches the word, he teaches about himself from the Old Testament writings. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Look at Matthew chapter 7. Quickly. Matthew 7 verse 28. Matthew chapter 7 verse 28. Now Jesus started teaching from chapter 5, where we call the Beatitude. You know,
the Beatitude, Mount, message on the Mount. Hallelujah. So verse 28, he said, he said, and it came to pass when Jesus has ended all his saying,
that the people were astonished. They were surprised. Hallelujah. At his doctrine. The word doctrine there, the word teaching, didache. Hallelujah. They were surprised at his teaching, his mode of teaching. That's the word, didache. His mode of explaining. The mode at which you explain what you are explaining. Did you get me? So they were astonished at Jesus' teachings. Now, why were they astonished? Because Jesus would teach from the Old Testament concerning who? Himself. Did you get that? So they were astonished at Jesus' teaching. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, for he taught as one having authority, not as one of the scribes. Hallelujah. So you cannot see why they were always astonished at when he teaches. Glory to God. If you look at John chapter 7, from verse 16 to 17, they were also astonished at what he said, explaining from the scriptures. Hallelujah. They were all astonished. Glory to God. So the way Jesus teach is he will now listen. Remember, Moses wrote about him. He said that in John chapter 5. He said, well, if you have believed Moses, you believe me, for he wrote about me. So what will Jesus do? Jesus will now listen. This is how he taught. He goes to Moses. Listen, Jesus goes to Moses, goes to the prophets, goes to Samuel, goes to the Psalms, and he reworks it in himself. Now, permit the word I use, rework. Because I use the word rework, it doesn't mean he now twists it, no. Rework means he will now explain Moses as concerning himself. Did you get that? Jesus will explain the writings of Moses as concerning himself. Glory to God. We'll see that soon. Hallelujah. We'll see that soon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what did the disciples do? The disciples learned. You know, the disciples learned from how Jesus taught. Hallelujah. John, Act of Apostles chapter 1. The Bible says, and this Act of Apostles chapter 1, verse 42, says, and the apostles, and the disciples, which is those, Act of Apostles chapter 2, sorry. Act of Apostles chapter 2, verse 42. Those who the part of the 3,000. Hallelujah. Now he said, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The word doctrine is the apostles' teaching, their mode of teaching. What was their mode of teaching? You go back some few verses. Hallelujah. You go back some few verses. After the believers, after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, in verses 1 into verses 4, hallelujah, and they began to speak in other tongues. Now the people came and ranted their mouth and said, these men are drunk. Hallelujah. Then what did Peter do? The Bible said, Peter standing up among the 12. What did he do? He said, oh ye men and brethren. Are you with your Bibles? I'm quoting. Hallelujah. Men and brethren. He said, these men are not drunk as you have said, or as you've observed. He said, but this is that which is spoken of the prophets. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, these men are not drunk as you suppose, for see now it is but the tall hour of the day. But this is that which is spoken of the prophets. Now, did you see how Peter did it? Peter quoted from Joel. He quoted from Joel. From quoting from Joel, he quoted from Moses. Hallelujah. And what did he conclude? He ministered Christ. Hallelujah. So what did he do? He gave interpretation. Do you understand me? He gave interpretation. He interpreted it in Christ. Hallelujah. Should I put it like that? He interpreted it in the light of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Bible says 3,000 were saved. In fact, when Peter was still talking, they now asked, what shall we do? Hallelujah. What shall we do now? Because he has quoted Moses. Hallelujah. And explained. He didn't just quote. Listen, he didn't just quote. You can know how to quote, but you must have to. It must be explained. Scriptures are not for quoting, but explanation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus, did you see? Now, if you watch chapter 3 also, after the miracle at the gate of Beautiful, men gathered. Men gathered. What did Peter do? Men gathered. In explaining what has happened to the guy, what did he do? He ministered Christ. From where? From the words of Moses. Chapter 3. In chapter 7. In chapter 7, Stephen was on the scene. Hallelujah. Stephen was on the scene. Stephen also did what? Quoted Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So you must understand that Christ is the center theme of the scriptures. He's the center theme of the scriptures. So when I go into Moses, when I go into the Old Testament, I do not see, listen, I do not see events first. I do not see story. I do not see a storybook. You understand me? I do not see a history book. I see Christ's thoughts. Hallelujah. Did you get that? I see Christ's thoughts. From 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says, the scripture is, all scripture is profitable for doctrine. Meaning, when it talks about all scripture, it was referring to the Old Testament writings. So he said the Old Testament writings are profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. Meaning, spiritual growth can be found in the Old Testament writing if well explained. Did you get that? Did you get that? Spiritual growth can be found in the Old Testament if well explained. And where is the explanation? The explanation is the epistles. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So spiritual growth is in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go back to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Glory to God. Glory to God. John chapter 5. Verses 30. Okay. Verse 46. Let's start from verse 45. No, 46. He says, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. For there is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom we trust. You know, people look at this, and when they see it, they say, hey, how can you tell me Moses will go to heaven? He's not right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People look at it and say, how can you tell me? No. Moses accused. He's an accuser of the brethren. Lack of understanding. Hallelujah. Let's look at that word accuse. The word accuse is from the Greek word kategorio. Do you understand me? The word accused is from the Greek word kategorio. Listen, it means, because we need to understand that. I don't want to leave, there will be no gray areas while we are done. Hallelujah. It means to point out, listen, kategorio means to make an accusation before a judge. To make an accusation, it's the New King James that use the word accuse, right? The Old King James will tell you there's one who condemns you, right? Right? There's one who condemns you. Now, that is the word categorio. It means to accuse someone before a judge. Do you understand me? To accuse someone before a judge. To find fault in someone. Do you understand me? To find fault in someone. Now, the question will now be, why would Jesus say Moses accused them? But before we go deep into this, I want to first of all establish something for you. I want us to establish something. And we need to establish it fast. Look at verse 46. Let's read together. I don't guess my mind. Let's read verse 46 together. One, two, go. Let's read together. Want to go? For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. What does that tell you? It tells you that the words of Moses and the words of Christ are the same. You cannot. This, listen to me. He says, for if you have believed Moses. Listen, I want you to get how it flows. Jesus said, I do not accuse you, for Moses accused you. Do you understand me? Now he now says, for if you have believed Moses, you will have believed me, for he spoke of me. That means, listen, it means first of all that Moses wrote about Christ, right? Or Moses spoke the words of Christ. Are you hearing me? Eh? So the right, the words of Christ and the words of Moses are not contradictory. They are together. You cannot find contradictions in the Bible. When people have contradictions, because they did not study well. Do you understand me? There's no contradiction. Jesus just said the words of Moses and my words are the same. Now, if Jesus would say that, listen, then why did he say Moses accused you? In fact, what this verse actually translated, or what it actually meant is this, verse 35. He said, do not think that I will accuse you, but there's one who has accused you already. Do you understand me? He said, Moses in whom you trust. I want to look at that word. Why would Moses accuse them? Now, the word accuse is the word condemn. Hallelujah. Now, Moses, listen. That word to accuse or to condemn, we're going to see why that word is shortly. Look at Acts chapter 7 first. Let's look at Acts. Let's look at it together. Let's get what it meant. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 7. Verse 34. Now, verse 34. Acts 7:34. I'm supposed to read before then, but we have to be fast now. Hallelujah. 34. Say, this Moses, if you read from verse 32, you see the words of Moses. Hallelujah. That for this Moses, verse 34. One more. Okay, verse 34, he said, I have seen the afflictions of my people, which is in Egypt, God speaking to Moses, and I've heard their groanings, God speaking to Moses, and come down to deliver them. Now come, I will send thee into Egypt. Now, God sent Moses into Egypt. Now look at verse 35. He said, this Moses, whom they refused, watch, mark that word, whom they refused, saying, who made thee ruler and a judge? The same did God, said, the same did God send to be the ruler and the deliverer by the hands of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Now, when Moses said this, Moses was saying it prefiguring Christ. Do you understand me? A prophet like me. That's talking about Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Him shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spoke to him in Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give to us, to whom, look at verse 39 again, to whom our fathers would not obey, but trust him from them, and in their heart they turned back again to Egypt. Did you see that? They did not obey. In their heart, they turned back to Egypt. Hallelujah. 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 What does that show you? It shows that they were unbelieving. They were unbelieving. Even after the wonders, the miracle signs and wonders that they saw, in their hearts, they were back to Egypt. In fact, yes, they told Moses, so why did you come to save us? So they appointed for themselves a ruler. Let's go back to Egypt. Hallelujah. So funny. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it was because of their own belief that Jesus would say.
Moses accused you. Look at Matthew 19. Jesus, from the words of Christ.
Matthew 19, verse 8. They came to meet Christ. They came to meet Jesus. And they asked him. They were asking him about marriage and divorce. Hallelujah. I will not bore you with all the... Okay, bore? No, we'll read. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't get bored with the scriptures. We'll read all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at verse 3. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him, and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And he answered and said to them, have you not read? He who made them at the beginning, I mean verse 4, made them male and female, and said, for this reason shall a man leave his father and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. What was Jesus talking about? People think Jesus is talking about marriage. Well, look at this. We'll explore this very soon. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So then, they rose. Amen. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate.
Yes! They came to ask him a question about marriage. But his response was about what he would do in his redemption. Or in his resurrection. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. Look at verse 7. And they said to him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? He said to them, Moses, look now, look at what Jesus said. He said, Moses, because, meaning in view of the hardness of your heart, permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. Did you see that? Moses, in view of the hardness of your heart, he tells you who they were with Moses, the audience of Moses. Jesus, what he did was that he told them, he did not just quote Moses, he read and understood Moses. You understand? He understood the utterances of Moses. And, you know, in Bible interpretation, you must give cognizance to the background. Do you understand me? So Jesus said, in view of the hardness of their heart. The word hardness of heart, it was sclerocardia. Sclerocardia. S-K-L-E-R-O-K-A-D-I-A. Sclerocardia. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The hardness of your heart. Hardness of your heart. What does that tell you? Unbelief. Hardness of your heart. It's usually used figuratively for unbelief. You find the same word in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7. Or let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. Let's go to Hebrews 3 first. Hebrews 3. Hebrews, are you in Hebrews? I'm there. Look at chapter 4 first. Look at verse 7. Is it verse 7? No, for verse 1. He said, therefore, since a promise, Hebrews 4, 1, says, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of this, of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. The word them was talking about in the Old Testament, meaning the gospel was preached to them in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the gospel was preached to them also in the Old Testament. Now look at what he said. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who had it. Hallelujah. Look at verse 7. Not being mixed with faith with those who have it. He said again, he designated a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, it has been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Did you see that? They did not believe. So he's not using that as a pointer. As you hear the word, the message, do not harden your heart like them in those days. Hallelujah. Unbelief. Glory to God. Unbelief. Unbelief. Glory to God. Look at Acts of Apostles chapter 19. You find the same word in Acts of Apostles chapter 19 verse 9. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That same word that is translated hardened of hearts, sclerocardia, is the same word in the Hebrew that is translated stiff-necked. Stiff-necked. Hallelujah. Stiff-necked is the word kashar. Kashar in Hebrew. It is used also for the word harden of one's heart in unbelief. Harden. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Harden. One's heart hardened. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In Ezekiel chapter 2 also, God called them rebellious. Rebellious. Mara. Rebellious. They were rebellious. Call them a rebellious people. Hallelujah. To revolt. So, Moses' accusation. Listen, Moses' accusation. You know, Jesus will use the word accusation, categorio, to tell you Moses' judgment. Moses has already judged them. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Listen to this. And how did Moses judge them? Now, because they were unbelieving, Moses' judgment to them would be the law that they have, that he gave to them. You understand? If you read Deuteronomy chapter 32, Moses wrote the reason why he gave them the laws. Hallelujah. He told them why he gave them the laws. So their hardened, the hardness of heart, their unbelief was what brought about the law of sin and death. And it will now form how Moses will speak to them. Did you get that? It will now form how Moses will talk to them. Because they had a hardened heart, Moses will now speak to them in figures. Listen to me. Do you understand me? Because you know, Moses is well learned. Moses is well learned. So, because they had and had it that they did not believe him, they did not believe the message. So, the way Moses' communication with them would be, would not be plain. Do you understand that? We'll look at that. You know, this is the reason why Jesus had to go through the scriptures, explaining to them the languages of the prophets. This is the reason why Paul in Romans 16:25, Ephesians 3 verses 4, will call Colossians chapter 1 verses 27, will call the writings of the prophet, the Old Testament scripture, you will now call it mystery. What is mystery? Mystery is what needs explanation. Do you understand me? What needs explanation? In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he said, he who speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men. He said, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries to God. When we talk about mystery, it doesn't mean it is mysterious. It just means it needs explanation. And that is, listen, what needs explanation? And that is the reason for what? Interpretation. Did you get? Hallelujah. Did you get that? So you now understand why Paul wrote the way he wrote. What needs to be explained? Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the way Moses will now teach, the way Moses will now write, will now show, he will not write in such a way. I want to put this way. We don't write in such a way. I don't want to just use direct how it is used in Psalms. Dark sins. Dark. So the way Moses will not write to them will not reflect their unbelieving. You understand? So Moses will not communicate to them in symbols, because the message will still be preached. Do you understand? Now you've refused the message, he now gives you a symbol. And then, around those symbols, around those
prefigures. That's what I mean by figures. By symbols. Around those symbols of prefiguring, listen, you will not have the explanation around it. Do you understand that? We'll look at some shortly.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, let me just read what I have here. Yeah? I said, based on Moses' audience, what was Moses' audience? Or who are Moses' audience? Unbelieving, right? Now, based on Moses' audience, he will teach what God will do. Remember, all what they prophesied and all what they said was about what God will do.
Yeah.
So, in the Old Testament, listen, you will not find a prophet or prophets who the Bible or who the epistles recognize as prophets are those who did what? Who spoke salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Those are what's called prophets. Do you understand? Those who spoke of Christ. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The epistles recognize David as a prophet because he what? He spoke of Christ. Abraham a prophet because he ministered. Do you understand me? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory, hallelujah.
Amen.
We're still running up. Running up, sir. Hallelujah.
Amen. Now, based on the audience, unbelieving, he will teach what God will do through Christ. And due to the hardness of their heart, he will prefigure it and use symbols. Not just Moses, other prophets did the same. Do you understand me? Because they followed after Moses. Do you understand me? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So they will prefigure it. They will use figures of speech to express what God will do through Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's look at this. Matthew chapter 13, from verse 12 to 16. Look, Jesus actually said the reason why this week.
And even Jesus too spoke to them in parables.
Why did Jesus speak to them in parables? Audience. You know, he wouldn't speak to his disciples in parables.
He doesn't speak to your disciples in parables. He will speak to those outside in parables. He will tell the disciples, it is given to you to know. Do you understand me? Why would he speak this way? Let's look at that. Matthew 13, from verse 12. He said, for whosoever hath,
to him shall be given. And whosoever have more, and he shall have more abundance, sorry. But whoever have not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore, I speak to them in parables. Because in seeing,
see not. In hearing, they hear not. You see, neither do they understand. What is Jesus saying?
Unbelief. In seeing, they see not. In hearing, they hear not. It's unbelief. Do you understand? Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And in seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For these people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest as any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted. Did you see? That is, be converted. And I will heal them. But blessed are your eyes, talking to your disciples, for they see, and your ears for they hear. Now, what is he talking about? He just tells you why Moses had to write in figures. Because of their unbelief. Did you see that? Because of their unbelief. And you know, those things he wrote are now being explained in the epistles. And as I say, Paul will refer to them as what? Mysteries, what needs to be explained. Hallelujah. 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 So, what now? What needs to be explained? Meaning, if
You study the Old Testament. If you study the Old Testament, you don't read the storyline. No, you read it in with Christ in view. You get that? You read it with Christ in view in your heart. With faith in view. Glory to God. Did you see that? That's how you read. That's how you study. In view. And you know, in Bible interpretation, I learned this just a few months back. Hallelujah. Learned it just a few months back. You keep quiet. You stay silent where the apostles are silent. You stay silent where they are silent. You are loud where they are loud. You are mild where they are mild. Let me just use that one. Meaning where they, do you understand? You are silent where they are silent. So what is our place today? Can we go into the Old Testament and catch things? What is our place? If you read Ephesians very well, chapter 3, verse 4, it says, whereby when you read, you will know my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Meaning our role. Remember I said, Paul refers to the writing of Old Testament scriptures as mysterious. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Romans 16, 25. He referred to it as mystery of what needs to be explained. He said, now to him that is of power. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. From Ephesians chapter 3 verse 5. He said, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now being revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. By the Spirit. So from verse 4 to verse 5, from verse 4, he says, when you read, you will understand my mystery in the knowledge of Christ, which in other ages, do you understand me, was not being revealed, but has been revealed to who? To his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So that we reveal to the old holy apostles, which are prophets of the Spirit. Now that means, listen. The mystery of Christ has been, the mystery is the explanation of the Old Testament writing. Do you understand? That is called the mystery of the scriptures. Do you understand? Now, has been explained to us by the apostles. Listen. So therefore, remember, now let's move a bit higher from what I told you. I told you, you study the Old Testament with Christ in view, right? Okay. Let me give you something else. You study the Old Testament writings. Listen, you study the Old Testament books with the explanation of the epistles in mind also. Because they have been explained by the epistles or by the apostles in the epistles. So the epistles are now explanation of the Old Testament. So what's our place? He said, when you read anaginosio, you read carefully. Do you understand me? Are you listening to me? So when you read, what is our place? Our place is to read carefully. Chapter 3 of Ephesians verse 4. It says, when ye read, the word read is the word anaginosio. Anaginosio. It's our place, anaginosio. It means to carefully read. Carefully study. To read thorough. To read through. It's not casual reading. Not the way you just read casually. No. It's the way you study. Even much more. You study for an exam. You study for an exam. That way you study. You give diligence in study. He said, when you read. Hallelujah. That word anaginosko was used by Christ in Matthew chapter. We just read one now. Hallelujah. Matthew 19, verse 4. When they came to meet him about divorce, he said, have you not read? Meaning, have you not carefully studied? You understand me? Meaning, if what he's telling them is, if you carefully study the scripture, you will discover that from the beginning, it was not so. Do you understand me? So meaning they did not study carefully. They studied in a rush. There's some people who study in a rush. You don't study to get answers from the Bible. You don't study in a rush. Hallelujah. You study. Hallelujah. You don't jump into a verse and be memorizing a verse. want to give memory verse. No. Hallelujah. You study. Diligence. Pretext, post-text, background, you study. You pay attention to the prepositions. You pay attention to the conjunctions. Hallelujah. You look at the figure of speech. You look at what how it was used. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Bible study is diligence. It comes with diligence. Hallelujah. One of my mentors will say, a man who studies his Bible in a rush will not know God. Hallelujah. 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 So our role is to study. In Acts of Apostles chapter 8, verse 30, from 28 to 30, the word anagnosko was used in how the Ethiopian Enoch read the book of Isaiah. Anagnosko. Meaning he read it thoroughly, but reading it through. And then, when Philip came, he said, What is it talking about? Jonathan. Hallelujah. He read thoroughly. Jesus used the same word anagnosko to question the knowledge of the Pharisees on the scriptures. So our role is to study and interpret with the explanation of the epistles. So we don't go to the Old Testament to look for our own explanation. That's not like that. Not to get explanation from the Old Testament. No, we study to get, or we study and we interpret with the explanation of the epistles. Once your explanation is in opposite with the epistles, it's wrong. I'll give you guys an example. I went for a meeting, and the pastor was preaching. Listen, he now said something. He said, the reason why Cain's offering was rejected and that of Abel accepted was because of foundational issues. Say foundation. He said, if only Cain had gone and understood the fact that God has cursed the ground in chapter 3, he would not have given God from the ground. But Abel's own was accepted because he did not give from the ground, because the ground was cursed. He gave from the fatness of his animals, of his cattle. You know what I did? Only necessary then. I keep it. I went to school. I cut Rema. No study, nothing. It's Rema. Cut to school. Cut a brother. Wanted to wow the boy. I said, bro, do you know why? Listen, do you know why Cain's offering was rejected and Abel's own accepted? He said, yes. He said, by faith. He went to Hebrews 11. He said, by faith. Was correct. He said, Abel's offering was accepted because of faith. That of Cain, because he was not offered in faith, even if we were talking from our own level, because of faith. He didn't have faith. Have faith in what? He doesn't even know. He didn't just have faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. We're not seeing afar off. He didn't have faith. And I looked at him. You know, there's a way you get full of foolishness. You get full. I don't look at him. In school, with my big trouser, I don't look at him and say, bro, you don't know scripture. You understand? And because I was highly placed in secondary school then. I was about writing my way there. I said, okay, you don't know scripture. And I said, the reason why Paul, why Cain's offering was rejected, and I gave it. You know, I said, but what about Hebrews 11? I said, Hebrews 11 is the revelation of the writer, of Paul. I have a greater revelation. The glory of the latter half. So I see that of the former. So my revelation is supersedes that of Paul. That's what I was saying. I just made a mess of myself. Did you see that? You just said, the point I believe, though, how I went back, you know, it was later on. I don't share with somebody, and says now, well, the person that knows scripture, he will be here tomorrow, but God's will. Hallelujah. He now knows scripture, he now watered it down. Ah! I went to meet his brother. I said, God, you were right, dude. Don't mind me. You understand? But, did you see how you could miss it in Bible interpretation? Do you understand me? Once your explanation, what you think is explanation from interpretation of the scripture is different from the explanation by from the epistles, you are wrong. Do you understand me? So what you do is that you study in the light of the epistles. You get that? In the light of the epistles. Somebody asked a question. He said, hey, I have the Holy Spirit. I used to be like you, so keep quiet. If I'm learning this way, you need to learn. Hallelujah. Have the Holy Spirit. He's the master of the scripture. Tell you. Bro, sister, calm down. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is the master of the scripture. Yes, he is. And the explanation has been given too by the masters of the scripture. Hallelujah. So the master of the scripture that is in you is giving you what is given, but what he has said is better than the Holy Spirit himself. Then, bro, calm down. Read again. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? Read again. It's your mind that was telling you, not the Spirit. Hallelujah. And that is why we'll be rounding up on the leading of the Spirit. So, because we need to understand these things. Now, I began to tell us about the fact that you will know how to, you will know when your senses are telling you. You know. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Let's be a bit fast because I'm behind schedule time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So our role is to interpret with the light of what? The epistles. The explanation in the epistles. So when you are doing Bible interpretation, listen to this. I say you take note of the figures of speech. Now, if you read a figure of speech, you don't use it literally. These are very important basic principle for Bible study. When you read a scripture and you see a figure of speech, how do you know a figure of speech? When a statement becomes impossible, a figure of speech is intended. For example, you search the scripture, for then you think you have eternal life. These are they which testify of me, but you will not come to me. Literally, they cannot come to him. That phrase, but you will not come to me, is not possible as at that point. Do you understand me? So what does that mean? A figure of speech is intended. Do you understand that? That becomes a figure of speech. So you don't use a figure of speech literally. For example, we'll look at some. We'll look at some of those things. And the Lord gave Moses the measurement of the temple. The Lord gave me the measurement of our permanent site. Nonsense. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? Very important. Do you understand that? Very important. So you don't use a figure of speech literally. If you do that, it's wrong Bible interpretation. You must check for the meaning in the context of the scripture, of what you are reading. The meaning is there. Hallelujah. Amen. As words, I love this. Words find their meaning in the context of what? Their usage. Take note. Words find their meaning in the context of their usage. Words find their meaning in the context of usage. Hallelujah. I always give an example that I learned. If you tell somebody, this is your cup of tea, and there's a cup of tea, you know you're telling the person, this is your cup of tea, right? But when there's no cup of tea, I say, oh, bro, there's your cup of tea. You know, it's something else. Do you understand me? So what find your meaning in the context of usage? You have to reach through, hallelujah, to know the meaning. And we're going to look at some of those things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, also, when a figure of speech is used literally, it is wrong Bible interpretation. Have I said that? Huh? Okay. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He's having a service to that.
Okay. Let's look at how Jesus used words. Let's see how Jesus used words when he speaks. Let's look at some of those words. Remember I said you don't use some words. Let's look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6.
You know, I wanted to just look back at what I said
concerning how Moses will write. He writes after he goes, right? To figure Christ.
And you find those explanations in the New Testament, in the writings of the epistles, from the words of Christ. Hallelujah. Now, as we're going to look, John 6, right? Let's go to John 6. We'll look at that shortly. John 6, are you there? I'm rushing down to verse 56. Jesus said, "He that eats my flesh and drink my blood abides in me, and I in him. For, as the living Father hath sent me, as the living Father sent me, and I live because the Father, because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as the Father ate manna, and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." Look at what Jesus did.
Look at what he did. He brings out manna. He brings out blood. He brings out what?
Flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We'll look at something else in verse 26 shortly. We look at that shortly. Now, okay, let's go to verse 26. "And Jesus answered and said to them," so that we know the background, "Most assuredly I say to you, seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves, you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but in the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has sent his seal on him, has set his seal on him." Look at something. Jesus just finished multiplying bread. Do you understand that? Remember, I said the miracles of Christ can be explained. He just finished multiplying bread and loaves of bread and fishes. He just finished multiplying that in some verses before. And now, someone say, Jesus did miracle. But there's an explanation to it. When he did that, he was doing it pointing at what he would do. So, he turned and told them, "You're following me because of what? The food. The bread that I gave to you." But he said, "Do not labor for the bread which will perish." Did you see that? Did you get that?
Yes, sir.
So, meaning what he did was to show them what he would do at his resurrection. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Did you see that? That was the reason for the miracle. Now, but Jesus used bread. And in verses 57, look at verse 57. Verse 58. He now talked about the bread which came down from heaven and not like manna. He takes you back to Moses. Moses gave them manna. Why did Moses give them manna? The explanation is here. So the manna which Moses gave to them in the wilderness was to prefigure what Christ will do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you get that?
Yes.
Did you see that? So Jesus gave us the explanation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you get that? So when you read, you will now understand why were what used. Now, did you now see why Moses would give them manna? They have rejected the message. Did you get that? They rejected the message. Hebrews chapter 4. Hallelujah. The word was preached to them. But they did not receive it, not being mixed with faith. Now, he will not give them a figure. Now, he wants to now tell them what will happen. Remember, in our study some weeks back, we looked at the water and the rock, right? On the leading of the story. We looked at the water and the rock. That Moses gave them water from the rock. And we saw that rock in 1 Corinthians signified Christ. So, because they rejected the message, he gave them the rock. And in his explanation in Deuteronomy, he told them, God is that rock. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And all through the Old Testament writing, you kept seeing God is the rock of our salvation. Do you understand it? Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get that? Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
So when Jesus said in verse 56 of John chapter 7, I mean John chapter 6, he said, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood." Oh! Was Jesus meaning everybody should come and drink his physical blood? Now, if you take that thing literally, you will miss it. Take it literally. Because of bread and eat my flesh and drink my blood, people have started carrying, you're carrying, well, we did it once, but our eyes were opened. Hallelujah. It says communion. Let's have communion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I used to know what that means, but I know it no more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So drinking of blood, it is not used literally because it was not possible. How can you drink his blood then? Right? So it's not possible. Then it was a, now means a figure of speech was what? Intended. Did you get that? A figure of speech is intended. Because you cannot have blood. We all know eating of blood and flesh does not give life. It can't even give physical life. Did you get that? Are you with me? Are we together?
Yes.
Okay, let's flow. Hallelujah. So, since it doesn't give life, we say a figure of speech is what is intended. So the question is now, what is the blood of Christ? What is his bread? What is his water? What is his flesh? Yes, that will not become his question. Why would he say blood? Eat my blood. I mean, eat my flesh. Drink my blood. What is his blood? What is his flesh? So his, the blood of Jesus will not be red blood cell that dropped in Calvary, on Calvary or on the tree. Do you understand me? It will not be. What is his blood? What is his bread? What is his flesh? What is his water? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, let's look at what is his water first. Because on our previous study, on God asked us to listen to that message, we spoke about the blood. Let's look at his water quickly. What is the water? Glory to God. Look at chapter 7. Or let's go back to chapter 4. Before we get to chapter 7, let's understand background. Chapter 4. Jesus at the well with a Samaritan woman. I'll just pick out some verses. Look at from verse 7. And a woman of Samaria came here to draw water, and Jesus said to her, Give me a drink. Give me a drink. Verse 9. And she said, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritan." 10. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who is he who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would give you. And he would have given you living water." Verse 13. And Jesus said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again." Referring to that water. Hallelujah. Referring to the water of the well. "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again." So that means what Jesus was talking about was not a physical water. For he has already told you, "Whoever drinks of this water," which is the water of the well, "will thirst again." So Jesus was not talking about holy water. You know, people have holy water. Water means the salt, I call it holy water. No, we're not talking about physical water. Automatically, that should take your mind away from physical water. Hallelujah. What did he say? He said, "Whosoever drinks of this water shall taste again. But whoever drinks of the water that shall give him will never taste. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up into everlasting life." So that means the water of Jesus is not the same with the physical water. So whoever takes a physical water to represent it as the water of Christ is walking in error. Hallelujah. We'll look at more of this when we discuss no symbols in Christianity. We'll look at more of this. Hallelujah. We'll look at it all through. There's no symbol in Christianity. There is no. None. Actually, there's none. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Kabashonto palako sipali adadash. Hallelujah. Let's go down to chapter 7. Let's go back to chapter 7. I want to read just two verses. Verse 37 to 39. Jesus said, On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this is spoken concerning the Spirit. This is spoken concerning what? The Spirit. Meaning when he spoke about the rivers of living water, that men will come to drink from him. He spoke about the Spirit. Hallelujah. He spoke concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive. For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the water of Christ, the water Jesus spoke about in chapter 4, is referring to what? The Spirit. Hallelujah. So the water of Christ is the Spirit of Christ in the believer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So when he told the woman, he who drinks of this water will never taste again, we're talking about the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Kabasata palavasya. Did you get that? It's the Spirit. So because number one, you know that the water of Christ is not physical. For what he told the woman at the well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This will now make you, when you go back to chapter 3 of John, you now know why John told Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Now when I tell water and of the Spirit, not meaning two different birds. No. The word and is the word kai, which would mean which would mean to either join two words together or to give explanation to a word. Now when he said kai there, water and Spirit, was not referring to two words. You're not referring to two different things. When he said baptized of water, it means baptized of water that is the Spirit. Do you understand? Because you have known that the water of Christ is the Spirit. So when Jesus will be talking to Nicodemus, when he calls water, when Jesus mentions water, what comes to your mind, what comes to your heart, should be the Spirit. Hallelujah. So when he says to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus answered and said to him, Master, how can it be? He said, Rabbi, how can this be? Does it mean that a man will have to go back into his mother's womb while he's old and be born again? And Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water. In your Bible, when you see and put, that is the Spirit. Because the water of Christ is the Spirit in our heart. Hallelujah. 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 So, with you knowing this, that the water of Christ is the Spirit of God, you can now read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 perfectly well now. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. Ephesians 5, verse 26, quickly. So, when you get to Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 26. It says, husband, I was talking about 25. It says, husband, love your wife, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her. Now, when he talks about, now, he's not referring to the man, he's referring to Christ and the church, that he may sanctify and cleanse her. That is, cleanse her. With the washing of water by the word. Now, the washing of water simply means the washing of the Spirit. Do you understand me? Did you get that? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That is by the word. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Then, if you look at that John chapter 4 again, look at John chapter 4. Chapter 6, verse 29. We read something short as regards. We're about to round up now. We read something short, chapter 6, verse 29. as regards the bread. He says, do not labor for food which perish. Verse 27. Do not labor for food which perishes, but for food which endures to everlasting life. Then you now go to verses 58. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not that your father ate manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. Meaning he tells you that bread he gave to them in chapter 6. That bread he gave to them in chapter 6, while he was done teaching them, was to prefigure what he would do. Hallelujah. Also prefigure what he would do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that miracle was to point to what Christ would do. Hallelujah. 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 So what is the bread of Christ? The bread of Christ is the bread we eat during communion service. No. No. Hallelujah. What is the bread of Christ? What is the bread of Christ? Hallelujah. He tells you in verse 27, he said, do not labor for the food which perishes. He said, do not labor for the food which perishes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not labor for the food which perishes, but for food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Hallelujah. So therefore, the bread of life, he said, which endures to everlasting life. So the bread of Christ is the life he gave to us. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Jesus uses the bread as life in him. That is the Spirit. So when he fed them, he prefigured what he would do in his resurrection. He would give us life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
John 10:10. The thief cometh but to steal, to destroy, to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life. Talking about the sheep, I'm come that they might have life and have it more abundantly.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you see, the way we use words becomes important.
You don't take a figure of speech and use it literally. No. Hallelujah. The same way, this was how Moses spoke to them. Moses spoke to them.
When Moses spoke to them about what God would do in them, you know, what God would do in them, they didn't believe.
So he brought about, he gave them what? A sanctuary, a physical temple. Remember, God has told them, while the sanctuary was going on, the writer of Hebrews said there was a testimony, or God did testify, that the way to the holiest of all was not made known. Meaning that was not the real thing. Hallelujah. And if you go down to Exodus, while the sanctuary was being built, the temple was being built, what happened? Moses still told them that he would dwell amongst them. That word amongst them in the Hebrew is the same word that would dwell in them. So that means God was still testifying that that is not the real thing. Why that sanctuary yet standing? Hallelujah. And in the mouth of other prophets, he said, the Lord does not dwell in temples made with hands. So that means those temples that Moses gave to them made with hands was not the real thing. Hallelujah. He prefigured what will happen. Hallelujah.
What will happen? Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And the Bible says in John chapter 1, and the Word became flesh
and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The only begotten of God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We beheld his glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
When Paul will now write in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and chapter 6,
Jonah said, don't you know your bodies are the temple of the living God? The Spirit of God dwells in you.
That is to say, listen, that is to say, when Moses gave them that physical temple
and told them, you know, Moses showed them about the holiest of all.
No one goes there except the high priest. Once in a year, not without blood. He goes with blood.
Hallelujah. And we know, we'll continue on this tomorrow. We'll know. We will know what the blood of Christ is. Hallelujah. Much more. We'll know much more.
Moses said, not with blood. So meaning the high priest that goes into the holiest of all once every year. When it means once every year,
it signifies a timing, a time. Once a year means a time, meaning it signifies once forever. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It goes in once a year. Not without blood. It goes with blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the writer of Hebrews now said, Christ is our high priest. Jesus is our high priest. Hallelujah. He has not, he doesn't go once in a year. He said, we enter one and for all time. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Once and for all. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And that temple which the high priest entered.
You know, it goes into the holiest of all. Holiest of all. Holiest of all.
That temple where he enters,
he only goes there once, and it's that sacred. And the Bible says, you are the temple of the living God. You are the temple. You are the temple of the living God. You are.
So meaning, all those rituals, all those practices that Moses did set up and gave to them was to prefigure what God would do in the man in Christ. So the man in Christ has the Spirit of God in him. Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah. The man in Christ has God's Spirit in him. Woo. Hallelujah.
Amen. He said he calls it the prophet inquired. They inquired into these things. Hallelujah.
God lives in man. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm the temple of God.
Glory to God.
I'm the temple of God. You know, you say with all consciousness, God lives in me. Oh, hallelujah.
I'm the eternal home of this eternal God. I'm the forever home for the, you know, you say this word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. I'm the eternal home for this eternal God.
Hallelujah. He lives in me. He lives in me.
You know, you say, you say it. I'm the eternal home of this eternal God. The eternal home of this righteous God.
So therefore, because righteous God lives in me eternally, therefore, I'm righteous. Oh, hallelujah. I'm righteous. I'm holy. I'm sanctified. I'm cleansed. Hallelujah.
He lives in me.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory to God. This is what Moses spoke to them of. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. When Moses was not giving them the sanctuary, he went, you know, the Bible says the glory of God descended on the sanctuary, the glory, the descended miracles, signs and wonders. Hallelujah. And Moses, after that, went to meet God. He said, Lord, show me your glory. Moses knew that what they all had was a figure, was prefiguring the reality. He said, Lord, show me your glory. And the Bible says in John 1:14, and the word became flesh. And tabernacled amongst us. He said, I will behold this glory. The glory was of the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The glory of God is in Christ. He's seen in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Christ is in me. Hallelujah. I'm the carrier of God's glory. I'm the carrier of God's glory. You know, in the coming days, we're going to look at more of this, the glory of God. The glory of God. I'm the carrier of God's glory. I'm the carrier of God's glory. Hallelujah. The living God lives in me. He lives in me. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is what they could do. Most times, you know, I was studying my scriptures. And at a point, I said, how was it difficult for these guys to understand these things? This truth, hallelujah. Hallelujah. They had it as a promise, but we'll receive it now.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, you know, Paul will now write to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinth. He now said, he that is joined to a harlot is one body with her. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Sorry, 1 Corinth. Hallelujah. It's one spirit. Hallelujah. He said, what relationship has light with darkness? He calls the man in Christ light. Hallelujah. These are eternal truths, eternal facts about you.
God lives in you.
He lives in me.
God
doesn't dwell in tents. He dwells in his sons. God lives in me. These are the things that makes Paul and makes Jesus will tell them rejoice. These are the things we rejoice about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He lives in me.
He lives in me.
He lives in me.
He lives in me.
Glory to God.
Glory
to God.
Glory.
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 He lives in me. Hallelujah. This is why we are joyful. He lives in me.
He lives in me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, hallelujah. Let's be on our feet. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Those galabando sota palabalia.